produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It's great to be back with you once again. As always, it seems like each week in between our episodes or shows, programs, a lot happens. And needless to say, in this past week, we continue to see a lot of crazy things going on out there in the world. We today, or should I say on Sunday, had the opportunity to once again have home church. And we were able to expand that with not only physically having our daughter and her son and daughter in our home, but we were able to include through technology our son and his wife and their little daughter from Texas, as well as two of our missionaries and one of their friends who's investigating our church. And so they were online as well. So we had a very unique experience this morning, and it was great to have that opportunity. In our faith as Latter-day Saints, on the first Sunday of each month, typically we refer to that as when we have our worship service, or as we call it, a sacrament meeting. We refer to that first Sunday testimony meeting or sacrament meeting as our fast and testimony meeting. Basically, what happens is as we have prepared ourselves in fasting and prayer throughout the day before, the evening before, or the morning of, we come to that sacrament meeting, that fast and testimony meeting, and every member of the congregation who chooses to has an opportunity to stand before the congregation to bear their testimony of Jesus Christ and to share that testimony in their most sincere way that they are moved upon by the Spirit. Always a wonderful experience to have testimonies shared by members and friends and family. So this past Sunday here of June the 7th was indeed the first Sunday of the month, and it was a wonderful opportunity to hear beautiful testimonies of our Savior Jesus Christ. As I had the opportunity to bear my testimony, I felt impressed by the Spirit to bear testimony of the wonderful atoning sacrifice of the Savior and the miracle of forgiveness. As I've looked upon the events of this past several days, it became very clear to me that at the core of so much of the angst and anger and hatred that plagues our society is the fact that we have missed a very important gospel principle. And that is the principle of forgiveness. So in this episode of Power Up Your Family, I would like to talk about the healing power of forgiveness. Now, we know in the scriptures that Peter came to the Savior and asked him a very simple question. And we find that in the scriptures, in Matthew, that there was a dialogue between the Savior and Peter, and it's found in Matthew 18, starting with verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Thinking that that was a large number, and that certainly would be the limit to which he would be expected to forgive. However, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Well, we did some math, obviously. That's 490 times. I suspect that that is not a in stone number. In other words, I think what the Savior was illustrating is that we continue to forgive others and that that is required of us. Number specific is not the issue, but it represents the fact that we are to continue to forgive one another. In scripture that Latter-day Saints have, known as the Doctrine and Covenants, there's a verse that gives some credence to the issue of forgiveness, and it's found in the Doctrine and Covenants in the 64th section, and this is counsel from the Lord directly to Prophet Joseph Smith. In verse 9, it says, and this is the Lord speaking, he says, wherefore I say unto you that ye ought to forgive one another, for he that forgiveth not his brother his trespasses standeth condemned before the Lord, for there remaineth in him the greater sin. I, the Lord, will forgive whom I will forgive, but of you it is required to forgive all men. Now, in my conversations with a number of individuals, either verbally, in person, over the phone, through messaging, back and forth, Facebook commentary, I've had some interesting conversations that have made me appreciate that a lot of what's going on right now could be resolved in a significant way if people were able to fully embrace this principle of forgiveness. A number of years ago, back I think in 2007, in the Amish community in Pennsylvania, a horrific act occurred. There was a local dairyman who serviced, or dairy delivery person, who worked with the Amish community, and in the course of his traveling to and forth through the farmland there of the Amish, he was known by the community as a kind of a quiet, simple individual. But I'm going to share some remarks that were given by one of the apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, by the name of James E. Faust. He talks about, in the beautiful hills of Pennsylvania, a devout group of Christian people live a simple life without automobiles, electricity, or modern machinery. They work hard and live quiet, peaceful lives separate from the world. Most of their food comes from their own farms. The women sew and knit and weave their clothing, which is modest and plain. They're known as the Amish people. A 32-year-old milk truck driver lived with his family in their Nickel Mines community. He was not Amish, but his pickup route took him to many Amish dairy farms where he became known as the quiet milkman. Earlier that year, he suddenly lost all reason and control. In his tormented mind, he blamed God for the death of his first child and some unsubstantiated memories. He stormed into the Amish school without any provocation, released the boys and the adults, and tied up the 10 girls. He shot the girls, killing 5 and wounding 5, and then took his own life. The shocking violence caused great anguish among the Amish, but no anger. There was hurt, but no hate. Their forgiveness was immediate. Collectively, they began to reach out to the milkman's suffering family. As the milkman's family gathered in his home the day after the shooting, an Amish neighbor came over, wrapped his arms around the father of the dead gunman, and said, quote, "We will forgive you," close quote. Amish leaders visited the milkman's wife and children to extend their sympathy, their forgiveness, their help, and their love. About half the mourners at the milkman's funeral were Amish. In turn, the Amish invited the milkman's family to attend the funeral services of the girls who had been killed. A remarkable peace settled on the Amish community as their faith sustained them during this crisis. One local resident very eloquently summed up the aftermath of this tragedy when he said, quote, "We were all speaking the same language, and not just English, but a language of caring, a language of community, and a language of service, and yes, a language of forgiveness," close quote. It was an amazing outpouring of their complete faith in the Lord's teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. The family of the milkman who killed the five girls released the following statement to the public. To our Amish friends, neighbors, and local community, our family wants each of you to know we are overwhelmed by the forgiveness, grace, and mercy that you've extended to us. Your love for our family has helped to provide the healing we so desperately need. The prayers, flowers, cards, and gifts you've given have touched our hearts in a way no words can describe. Your compassion has reached beyond our family, beyond our community, and is changing our world. And for this, we sincerely thank you. Please know that our hearts have been broken by all that has happened. We are filled with sorrow for all our Amish neighbors, whom we have loved and continue to love. We know that there are many hard days ahead for all the families who lost loved ones. And so, we will continue to put our hope and trust in the God of all comfort as we seek to rebuild our lives. Now you might ask, how could the whole Amish group manifest such an expression of forgiveness? Really quite simple. It was because of their faith in God and trust in His word, which is part of their inner beings. They see themselves as disciples of Christ and want to follow His example. Hearing of this tragedy, many people sent money to the Amish to pay for the health care of the five surviving girls and for the burial expenses of the five who were killed. As a further demonstration of their discipleship, the Amish decided to share some of the money with the widow of the milkman and her three children, because they too were victims of this terrible tragedy. Forgiveness is not always instantaneous as it was with the Amish. When innocent children have been molested or killed, most of us do not think first about forgiveness. Our natural response is anger. We may even feel justified in wanting to get even with anyone who inflicts injury on us or our family. A recognized authority on family, on values realization, Dr. Sidney Simon, has provided an excellent definition of forgiveness as it applies to human relationships. Quote, "Forgiveness is freeing up and putting to better use the energy once consumed by holding grudges, harboring resentments, and nursing unhealed wounds. It is rediscovering the strength we always had and relocating our limitless capacity to understand and accept other people and ourselves," close quote. Most of us need time to work through pain and loss. We can find all manner of reasons for postponing forgiveness. One of these reasons is waiting for the wrongdoers to repent before we forgive them. How many of us have been offended and And even though the one who has offended us may not even realize that they've offended us, but we wait for them to come to apologize, even though they don't even realize they need to. And so we suffer with anger and hate and disappointment. A little personal experience. A number of years ago, after the death of my father and our relocation back to the city of Louisville, we had been living in North Carolina, I was able to go to work for a gentleman who had previously offered me the opportunity to go to work for him before we moved from Louisville down to North Carolina with the company that I had been with. I chose not to accept his offer at that time, but upon our need to return to Louisville, I contacted him and he was very generous in allowing me to come to work for him. But it wasn't just an employer-employee relationship. His real desire was for me to take over his business. And so we established a contractual agreement where over a period of time, 10 years, I believe, I would receive each year a percentage of ownership in the business. As my employment there in this relationship continued, I soon realized that I was in a very unusual circumstance. The gentleman that I worked for, as I look back on it, and at the time more specifically, I began to view him as the epitome, literally, of a modern-day Ebenezer Scrooge. Now, I won't take the time to go into all of the things that occurred and all of the things that made me get so frustrated and disappointed. I often would say, okay, I'm going to lose this battle to win the war, to get through that 10 years and ultimately own the company outright. As it turned out, there came a point where I finally took a stand on an issue, and he chose to exercise a clause in the contract that said that he would terminate our relationship and would buy back all of my stock in the company as severance. And because of a non-compete clause in the contract, I could not go to work for any other company in that community, Louisville, within the same industry. It was the temporary help personnel business. I later discovered that his own son had gone through a similar situation with his father with the business, that another individual who had left him and started her own company was sued and went through all kinds of difficulties with him. And I could go on with examples of things like, for example, and I'll be brief. One day he asked me, he said, you're a Mormon, right? And I said, yes. He said, do you tithe? Do you pay 10% of your income? I said, as a matter of fact, I do. He then proceeds to tell me, well, you know, Richard, your church is a very wealthy church, and you need that money far more than your church needs it. And so in order to take care of your family, I would recommend that you not foolishly give your money to such a wealthy organization. Well, he had no concept of the principle of tithing being a biblical standard. And it mattered not why we paid our tithing to him. He just thought it was foolish that we were diverting funds that he thought we could use for our own family. Of course, we all know that the Lord does not need our money. His church does not need our money. That it is an act of obedience that we pay our tithing. And as promised in Malachi, the windows of heaven will be open and will be richly blessed. On another occasion, as we were already blessed with three children, and when he got wind that we were having a fourth child, he asked me, he said, now, you know, Richard, you need to be more mindful of your family size so that you can manage your money better and provide for your family. Basically, in that conversation, discouraging us from having any more children. Needless to say, I could go on with examples of things that occurred. But let me suffice it to say that we ultimately relocated to Memphis to find employment after that situation of termination. And for a number of years, I harbored a significant amount of anger and ill will toward that individual until one day it finally dawned on me that I was the one being hurt by holding on to that anger. And I remember so well that on a subsequent visit, 3 or 4 years later, back to Louisville, I was attending a luncheon meeting, just kind of dropped in to visit some old friends, and he was there. And we actually sat across the table from each other. And in the course of that conversation, I felt a strong spirit of forgiveness. And I expressed to him my gratitude for the employment opportunity that he had given me and for the experience that I had gained in working with him. And I could tell a great change occurred within him as he heard me share those words of appreciation. And there was a melting of hearts and a bond of friendship. And for several years thereafter, we exchanged Christmas cards and occasionally had contact with each other. I was healed. And by my being healed, it helped him, I'm sure. So the opportunity to forgive others is more important for us than it is sometimes for the one being forgiven. In the message that Elder Faust, President Faust, had shared, he goes on to say, forgiveness comes more readily when, like the Amish, we have faith in God and trust in His word. Such faith enables people to withstand the worst of humanity. It also enables people to look beyond themselves. More importantly, it enables them to forgive. All of us suffer some injuries from experiences that seem to have no rhyme or reason. We cannot understand or explain them. We may never know why some things happen in this life. The reason for some of our suffering is known only to the Lord. But because it happens, it must be endured. Former president of our church, President Howard W. Hunter, said, quote, God knows what we do not know and sees what we do not see, close quote. Another one of the past presidents of our church, Brigham Young, offered this profound insight that at least some of our suffering has a purpose when he said, quote, every calamity that can come upon mortal beings will be suffered to come upon the few to prepare them to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Every trial and experience you have passed through is necessary for your salvation, close quote. If we can find forgiveness in our hearts for those who have caused us hurt and injury, we will rise to a higher level of self-esteem and well-being. President Faust goes on to say, some recent studies show that people who are taught to forgive become less angry, more hopeful, less depressed, less anxious, and less stressed, which leads to greater physical well-being. Another of these studies concludes that forgiveness is a liberating gift that people can give to themselves. In our day, the Lord has admonished us, ye ought to forgive one another, and then makes it requisite when he says, I, the Lord, will forgive whom I will forgive, but of you it is required to forgive all men. Goes on to mention a sister who had been through a painful divorce received some sound advice from her bishop. Quote, keep a place in your heart for forgiveness, and when it comes, welcome it in, close quote. For the Amish, it was already there because forgiveness is a heartfelt component of their religion. Their example of forgiveness is a sublime expression of Christian love. As a Christian, how can we not be mindful of the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? When he was betrayed by Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane, was apprehended, was abused, was beaten, was tortured, was whipped, and ultimately nailed to a cross and crucified. And as he was on the cross, hanging there after all of that abuse, uttered the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. By that example and by his direction, it is incumbent upon all of us to strive to our very best to forgive others when we've been hurt, injured, abused, or whatever the circumstance may be. Now, we live in a time where there's much anger and much hostility. Much, much destruction is going on. Civil unrest. People very upset. And understandably, the abuse of many in our society, the discrimination and prejudice that they've had to endure, has no doubt fostered this anger and this hurt. And we must strive to do all we can to address that blight that is on our society. Some say it's institutional or systemic. I personally believe it goes deeper than that. It's in the hearts of too many people that maintain prejudice and bias. And that prejudice and bias is not necessarily just white against black. It could be Muslim against Jew or Protestant against Catholic. And certainly as a Latter-day Saint, I have experienced prejudice and bias by those of other faiths because of my faith. Now, prejudice and bias is one thing. Physical abuse, and torture, and murder are totally different. However, we could go through many examples of families who have had a loved one killed in an automobile accident, where a drunk driver hit and killed that family member. And ultimately, that family member was able to reach out to the individual and perhaps his family and express their forgiveness. These examples are out there. And the liberating experience of forgiveness is remarkable. The Savior commands it. He expects it. And for our own well-being, we should do it. Needless to say, society needs to be protected from the abusers and hardened criminals. But mercy, because mercy cannot be robbed, because mercy cannot rob justice, I'm sorry. Forgiveness is a source of power, but it does not relieve us of consequences. When tragedy strikes, we should not respond by seeking personal revenge, but rather let justice take its course and then let go. It is not easy to let go and empty our hearts of festering resentment. The Savior has offered to all of us a precious peace through his atonement. But this can come only as we are willing to cast out negative feelings of anger, spite, or revenge. For all of us who forgive those who trespass against us, even those who have committed serious crimes, the atonement brings a measure of peace and comfort. Let us remember that we need to forgive to be forgiven. In the words of one of our favorite hymns, "Oh, forgive as thou wouldst be forgiven now by me." With all my heart and soul, I believe in the healing power that can come to us as we follow the counsel of the Savior to forgive all men. And I share this message with you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.